They were all present except for Akram.
Okay, and seeing no public here, did anyone else have any comments they'd like to make before we get going? Nope. Hearing none, discussion items, approval of the minutes from us.
They're attached into the copies if you want.
Did anyone have any comments?
We approve the minutes as written.
Do you have a second?
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, next, updates on the projects.
Okay, I can give you, I'll have to do my best because Akram and I did a kind of a interesting conversation. The street rehab project, the we'll be awarding the contract, RJ Noble. There were six bids. Interestingly enough, all six bids were in a total of $60,000. It's really close. Very close, which if you ever see six bids that close, one was like $1,200 within the other. But RJ Noble is the lowest bidder. They're very responsive. So Tuesday evening, we'll be recommending that moving forward. So the work will start in early part of June. So well, once the contract, assuming the contract is there. Again, very competitive bidding, and six bids is a good response. We were very pleased with that.
You had a pretty well written scope.
Yeah. And my understanding is that the project will include patchwork as well.
Yes. That's got some. And it also, there's an alternative we asked for Valley to completely redig, start the whole road over again. But the design work that they gave for Valley is sufficient, so we're going to recommend that moving forward. So we remember we had asked for two alternatives, and it was like $180,000 difference in marginal engineering work. So Akram said, he recommended not paying that much. It is still slightly over the engineer's estimate. We will be hiring also a construction project manager that we'll hire as well for quality of work and all that kind of stuff. So that'll come back as well.
Oh, so they'll monitor the land of payment and stuff? I didn't catch, what were the two alternatives?
One was, there were two, on Valley, one was to completely redig and start the whole thing, redo as if you're building. The other one was to dig down and, build on it and I don't know, he talked about, I'm not an engineer, so I have no idea exactly, but the two alternatives, one was a much more engineering work than the other, but Akram was very, because they're dealing with the compaction issue is the one. Mm-hmm. So both of them had to deal with compaction, but one was completely starting over as if you were starting a new road, what would you do, and that was only $200,000 more. So I think Akram said that for the return on that just didn't seem like that kind of
That's the construction you're talking about. Is it construction cost or?
That was the construction cost.
Construction,
yes.
Not design.
Wasn't the difference something about just recompacting the trench section that was settling versus the whole street section? Wasn't that the difference?
Well, one was digging up the whole everything. I mean, digging up the whole street, even the area that was compacted, and going out to the side, so that would take the whole, literally take the whole stretch.
And the other alternative was just that just
taking the area that was the problem area where we had the sinkholes, which are surrounding the sewer element.
Just the narrow strip versus
which is what we have that you can see consistently. And if you go up Valley, you can actually see the patches that are aligned with the sewer. So it's pretty clear there is compaction around that sewer element. So, and that's what Akram, that's what the bids were pretty consistent that way, so he's recommending it. So anyway, Tuesday night, the council will hopefully let the bid contract and we'll move forward, and you'll see some construction going on very quickly once they mobilize. I don't know how long it takes them to mobilize. I'm assuming very quickly.
Okay. And that's separate from the sewer project then? This is just the streets?
The street project, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
The PCI, you remember that they'd be doing an update, and you have to do, M2 requires you to do the update every 2 years. So that contract was approved by the council last month, April. So that work is underway. We should have it early June, and we'll bring that to the full, hopefully in June we meet, we'll have that results. They're out there actually now. You can actually see them out there on the streets doing their reviews. I saw them the other day and had to ask Akram, what are they doing over here? And he says, oh, that's the people checking on our, the roads. So.
Is this a visual inspection, or is it something?
I believe, what did Akram say last time?
Sorry, I missed it. We had discussed the meeting previously, and Akram indicated that his recommendation, I think we agreed that they would do deflection testing, or they would do the Dyna test, whatever they want to call it, on the arterials, and we were going to, that it wouldn't be warranted for local streets. So I don't know what actually went out to bid.
I'm sure that's what it, yeah, that's okay. What it went out to bid.
Will that include...
So visual on the local streets?
And that's all streets. All the streets.
Residential streets.
On the residential streets, right. And on the arterials, which I guess would only be...
Santiago Lemon.
San Diego Lemon.
Valley.
I think Taft is...
Well, Taft is already done, so you probably don't even...
Is Valley part of that?
Well, probably not, because it's...
If they're redoing it here.
He's doing an overlay with limited reconstruction, but you were talking about a reconstruction of the whole street. That's what you were...
That whole stretch from... Okay. I don't know what the street is.
Seven.
Loma to...
Yeah.
Yeah, Cervilla.
Yeah.
But we're not picking that option, right?
Yeah, right.
We're not picking...
Well, they'll be doing the whole street. They just won't be digging... Completely all out the whole reconstruction.
Yeah, I think if you look at the plan, you'll see they're only doing reconstruction in certain areas where they have a problem. Mm-hmm. And the rest of it is just mill and overlay.
Okay. You know, as a surveyor, why don't I bring up...
monumentation?
There's a requirement to preserve monumentation, whether it's a street rehabilitation project. Does that get included in the contractor scope?
Yes.
Okay, good.
It's basically part of state law, but
you need an inspector to enforce it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's built in as
okay, good.
Part of their...
Which means you don't release their final 10% retention until somebody actually goes out and sees that those monuments have been replaced, because they will be... Those guys don't pay too much attention when they're cold planing. They just run over everything. So.
The problem is they're not identified on the plan, so that's... Right. The inspector has to be really on the ball.
Just want to make sure it was included in the bids that came in. It was scoped and it was addressed.
Yes.
Yeah, good.
A lot of times it will be hidden, though. They won't, and I haven't seen the bid schedule for this job, but a lot of times the bid, it'll be hidden in the mobilization, or it's not a separate line item. When it's a separate line item, it forces the contractor to write a number down specifically for that, and that way if they don't do it, you don't pay them for it. You take that money and you hire the surveyor yourself if they walk away or whatever.
Are you suggesting we change our bid template to include a line item for
because
that?
I haven't seen the template. It's always helpful.
Yeah, I agree. And it shouldn't be buried. I mean, it should be a line item that's addressed.
Yeah, a lot of consultants tend to want to bury it because they don't understand maybe that it needs to happen.
They don't really want to do it.
Well, you know that San Diego got into huge trouble with that issue. And with those expensive properties in La Jolla and stuff, it was a real major issue that the state board came after them on. So,
yeah, they actually come out after cities. And if you don't have an assigned land survey, do you have an assigned land survey?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Who is that?
I am. I'm completely ignorant.
So it's in the contractor's contract to do the land surveying? Mm-hmm. Considering we've already accepted the bid and we don't have a line item for it, can we ask for scheduled values from them to show it prior to the job starting? So
yeah, no, he will be doing all that. Okay. Yeah, that's what he'll do. Yeah. That's the next step. I mean, the city has to, the council has to approve it, and then there's the implementation, and that's, so we'll be moving forward on that.
So even if it's buried into the lump sum line item, so maybe Apple there's a separate breakdown.
Sure.
And maybe that's something we could do, would be to review this committee could review the actual bid sheet to make sure that things that should be visible are visible.
Sure. I think it's too late for this
job.
For maybe next year's bid, it might be worthwhile.
That's a good point. I truthfully don't know with Akram not here. I apologize.
But bad day for me to be sick. I was asking all these Akram questions.
That's okay. Those are good questions. I'll relate the question.
Okay. Go back to it. Sounds good.
Also, I don't know who you hire for construction management, but also RJ Noble, a lot of them, with summer coming, it's not as big of an issue, but it's so important that whoever's inspecting the job has a thermometer to look at the temperature of the asphalt going down, so we avoid ripples and problems with the finish. I mean, since RJ lives in this town, he'll probably be more you know, incentivized to make the streets look good, but we don't want to a bad overlay job that doesn't is going to ride worse maybe than
we have not picked the manager yet. He has not picked that, so that's the next step that he will do.
Are you going to go out to bid on that? Or?
I don't believe so. I apologize what Aquin's plans are. I don't want to speak for him, but I know he said we don't have a firm yet to do that.
So that's the next step.
Are you suggesting that the committee maybe look at the boilerplate agreement now for next year?
Yes,
that would be helpful. Yeah, because a lot of times if it's buried, it's in the general provisions, which is the front end and not in the special. But if it's placed in the special with a separate line item, it kind of forces the contractor not to forget about it. Mm-hmm. So that's helpful.
Now, do as part of the construction supervision, do they test for compaction?
Yes. Okay. They're on the job pretty much every day. I mean, that's how it was on Taft. It was an ongoing battle between the construction manager and the project manager. They were debating, and you know, we didn't pay anything, and that's what took so long, because the final settlement, if you will, we had to get the construction our project manager to sign off before we were willing to pay our final tenth. So that was a lot of debates back and forth about what is interpretation and whatnot. And daily you could see them out there, and Akram had to go out sometimes even mediate battles that they have, which I guess is not, he says it's pretty common.
Contractor does quality control, right? Yeah. For our work, and then the CM that you're going to hire is going to do quality assurance. So those two need to match. You know, that quality assurance guy needs to confirm that, quality control is that.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes their interpretation, like on Taft, was different about exactly what was required and what wasn't. So we had some debates about change orders. Mm-hmm. You know, that the construction manager that we hired didn't agree with the contractor, because the contractor would have to eat some of the costs, basically, and said, no, this was part of the deal. So, end of the day, we resolved it. But I guess they're out there pretty much every day, or close to. Pretty regular.
That's typical. Contractors are always.
That's why you heard of
change orders, especially if you know, the construction manager is not
on the ball.
On the ball and on the books and very familiar with the specifications.
I think the way we did Taft, and it's only experience with Akram, he had the construction manager in here before we even met with the contractor about their plans. So the project manager and Akram agreed about everything prior to, and so he was in all meetings with him. It was sort of a tri-party meeting all the time. I think that was.
Yeah, hopefully he'll be able to hire the construction manager then, because you know, if you approve the contract, then you know, in 30 days, I would think contractor will start.
Well, I think Akram's moving. I can't speak for where he's at on that process. I don't know.
And hopefully you don't have to do competitive bidding, though. Like, is it small city? You're paying for this, or who's paying for
this? We'll pay for this, yes.
The CM? We'll
pay for the, yes. We'll pay for it separate from the contract.
Okay. I think what he did before was let out an RFP, but I don't know if he did it for this project. He typically does it.
I think he said we'll do it. And the dollar amount, I think he's at 10% of the contract typically, or something like that, is what you can expect. So.
Well, it sounds like this construction supervisor or the quality control guy did a pretty good job.
The one on Taft, we were very pleased. I mean, if you go out, I think Taft just looks, you know, pretty well done. And we actually negotiated away at some of the change orders, and they were right involved in the thick of things in the negotiation. They didn't walk away. And like I said, we didn't come to the council with the final change order until the project manager agreed.
Yeah,
that's exactly why you hire them.
Right. Yeah.
If they aren't disagreeing, they're not doing their job.
Right.
So my main concern is that because you bid the alternate for total reconstruction on this job, that RJ Noble is going to want to reconstruct? I mean, there's a significant portion of Valley that's scheduled for reconstruction, but the way that RJ Noble in particular works is they will all of a sudden start marking out larger and larger and larger amounts of the street for reconstruction. So,
and then change order it in or something?
They'll claim unforeseen conditions or, so all of a sudden, so I think it's going to be a little tricky now that, they know that you're thinking the street might need to be reconstructed, that you might be looking at requests for major change orders on the asphalt. So,
they're notorious.
They're notorious for
change orders. But if you have a good construction guy, good inspector, and a good construction manager, you should be okay.
That knows his soils, he can take a look at the subgrade and really keep them in check because they will run with it, I'm sure.
Yeah, I wonder if that street was ever engineered or if it was just kind of laid down.
I don't know. I don't know. Somebody should have.
That was built back in the day, so.
Yeah.
And rebuilt or whatever they did. Yeah. They just crossed things on it or did whatever.
But without a coring or two, it's difficult for somebody just to look at it on the surface and say, well, maybe it is or isn't failing. But we'll find out.
Adequate subbase and all the rest of the stuff to make sure that it's going to last a while.
But these guys did their job in preparing the plans, and if there's any reference or original as-built that they could have looked at in addition to reviewing if for a street this big, they probably should have done a couple of cores just to make sure.
Well, especially I think you said they did do some. I think they were out there and he met with these guys and they did some sampling.
Okay. So they should know if there's base there and how thick it is, at least. I don't know if they did our value testing.
You got me.
Because there is there are alternatives. I don't know what the reconstruction alternative was proposed, whether it's a composite section, which means AC over base, or if it was just that a full depth section would have gone a lot faster and a lot cleaner and avoided the compaction issues if it was offered as one of the alternatives, but I don't know if they actually did that. So there's several ways to do it depending on what's out there, and some work better for others. So. Next one, sewer
project is out for bid, as I understand it, and we hope to come back in June with that. And remember, we talked about the alternate on that, and I don't know the details of the bid. I apologize again, that was one of those awkward questions that I didn't ask, but remember we talked about that, doing two different bids on that. One would be
relocation
and the other one would be just coring and repairing. So, and I've got I don't have the answers to, I apologize, that's an awkward question that I just don't have the answer for you today.
Repiping? According to the meeting minutes from last time, I'm sorry that we missed, he said that Akram was recommending slip lining. So the water line is still going to remain on top of the sewer line. And
you guys did say you reviewed that with the health department.
Yes. In excruciating detail. They saw the plans. Akram took it to them. He went down and personally met with them, showed them and talked it through.
What was the difference in the bid? Do you know?
I don't know the top of it.
Typically, what is the life expectancy of a slip lining?
There is not a whole lot of data on that, but I know I've done some back in 85, and they're still there.
Okay.
So.
Hakim said, I think he said you could probably count in like 30 years.
Bothers me the most, though, is that their original design recommendation was to replace that section of pipe, and then all of a sudden, whoops, okay, we can't replace it where it is. Oh, I think the slip lining is the preferred alternative. Mm-hmm. And that's I'm not completely convinced that that was a justified alternative, even if it was possibly a little bit cheaper. Mm-hmm. So I can't imagine that it was hugely expensive for that design life for a piece of pipe that originally was designated for removal and replacement. And I think that should have been based on the camera inspection, right? There has to be a basis for design. Not just, let's take it out, let's not take it out. You know, mm-hmm. It has to be based on some facts, and whether that was the camera inspection or whatever, their original design recommendation was take it out. And when they found out that they made the mistake, then they decided, oh, well, we'll just keep it in place and slip line it.
The mistake was?
That they were trying to replace a piece of sewer pipe that mm-hmm. was directly underneath or next to mm-hmm. within unallowable guidelines for mm-hmm. new sewer pipe construction.
Okay.
So they would have had to, they should have moved it. If they were going to replace it, they should have moved it over to clear the water. They couldn't construct it where it was.
Yeah.
Because the water, water line's right on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
They'd have to either shut it down, move it over. They wouldn't have been able to, special shoring. I don't know.
And I assume that could have been part of the conversation with the health department, right? So, like, if we're not touching it, we're not moving it, then we don't have to come to
health
compliance.
Department doesn't really care.
No.
What, I mean, they wouldn't tell the city, mm-hmm. you should or you shouldn't replace it or, you know. But, I don't know. It is what it is. It will last for a while in its place.
I think that the rule is if you're repairing it, really you're not subject to moving it. But if you're replacing it like the original plan showed, then you need to replace it exactly per code. And so basically what last time I talked to Akram, he was saying that there's a problem with the sewer, there's bumps
mm-hmm.
along the line. So I think his second method of dealing with the problem is to basically just go in and replace those sections that have the bumps
mm-hmm.
and then slip line the whole line, which is fine.
Yeah.
But provided if we're replacing the whole line, then it's a different story. Then you have to comply with the 10-foot separation. So it's dealt with.
Yeah.
And I seem to remember there was a fairly significant cost difference.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
So I don't know what the numbers were, but it seemed like a lot. Yeah. I'm sure it was a lot.
Slip lining versus
actually the health
versus
department.
Reconstruction is a big.
The health department was very happy that we're slip lining it because that gives you the protection that we don't have right now. So they want work done. Their feeling is that much of California and the infrastructure in the country is way out of compliance with new construction right now. So their comment was you'd have to tear down LA and start all over again because they don't comply. Yeah. Some of the stuff was built, so it is
good.
It's new construction, like you said, I think that they're really the most worried about. They're happy that we're slip lining it because it is giving some better assurance than we have right now. So in their mind, we're taking a very positive step from the health department's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, it's only when you really want to reconstruct that they start saying, well, now you got to do extra X, Y, and Z to comply with code.
Right.
And slip line effectively reduces the number of joints. That's part of the benefit?
Slip lining, basically what it does, so let's say you have a pipe, and the pipe has joints.
Right.
These joints, over time, they move because it's vitrified clay pipe.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically slip lining gives it like a smooth flow.
Right.
So typically what they do, and I've seen this way back in the day, they basically have a truck at one manhole, another truck at the manhole, then they put in this plastic tube and they pump it up with hot air.
Inflate it, yeah.
Inflate it. So basically, in terms of capacity, it affects the pipe. It makes it a little less cross-section of a pipe. But sewers are designed for half-full anyways. So it basically makes the pipe flow smoother, basically. Typically, cities that have a lot of sewer, in terms of sewer master plans, like, you know, anything over 65 to 75 years old, and if there isn't complete failure of the pipe, the municipalities tend to go with slip lining because they save a ton of money. And as you know, sewer fees don't replenish the sewer fund for reconstruction of sewer lines. Not like water.
How does that system work with laterals? Are they able to go in and cut out a hole for the lateral?
Basically, because of the high pressure, it actually goes out. It's like a balloon.
It'll burst
in
the lateral?
In the laterals.
Really?
And typically, what they do is they go in after the lining is in, and they can see for each lateral. So the video robotic thing is like a big thing. Yeah, it's an old technology, but you know, I'm saying, you know, 85 to now, it's like.
So you basically extend the life of the pipe.
Yes, yes.
For whatever number of years, right?
Yes.
But with fewer joints, you'd also end up with less chance of root intrusion.
Right.
So leakage.
Yeah,
leakage. That's why he was saying that the health department was happy, because vitrified pipe, vitrified clay pipe is actually not as impermeable as the plastic lining.
So the beds are going to be in what?
You know what? Actually, I take it back. I think he said in the last minutes they awarded the contract on the April 24th, so I stand corrected. The April 24th. Whoops.
Yeah, wasn't there only one or two? That was that the one?
Ramona, there was one bid.
Yeah, not a lot of people responded to it.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with...
It's kind of a special, you know, there are not a lot of companies.
Yeah, that's what I think Akram said. And we, it's a small it's a small job in big, in big scheme of things for what these people do. The DG Trail Project, the contract, they're actually out there working on it and starting to replace it. And I know that Akram was debating color of DG. They were debating samples of what color matched, because you got to match certain colors and all that stuff. So he had samples of baggies full of samples of colors that he was going out checking.
And what DG trail is this?
This is the one that when we had washout in January of 2017. So this is on, there's various trails all through the city, but it's their washout. It's like on Center Drive, and you'll see some of the the trail. They get like rivets or whatever through it because it washes.
Center and what?
It's up in that direction.
Oh, okay. Next to Valley?
Near Valley.
Yeah. So some of it just, and it washes out. It's going to wash out 2-3 years, and again, because of the incline, but they're in process of replacing it, which is what we want them to be doing.
One of the things that you know, we live close to Santiago, and we walk all the way down to the center and back.
Right.
And every handicap, whenever we have a rain, because of the detectable warning surface, there is a divot, and I see a lot of people tripping because the water goes in and basically erodes the DG.
Right. That's part of the. There's all through those. Those will be repaired.
Right. So what I was alluding to is, instead of repairing those, maybe do regular handicaps just at, you know, where the curve goes to zero.
Mm-hmm.
So at least the DG will not.
That's what they did. I think on Taft one day, the Taft corner.
We put the
concrete. Yeah.
The handicap ramps are concrete.
Right.
Right.
So you're saying with a bumps and a whole bit.
Yeah, because here it isn't, you know, all along this stretch. And it's sooner or later you're gonna have somebody trip and say, "Oh, you guys messed up."
Well,
DG is not, is it actually classified as an ADA? Because I has somebody looked into the issue of whether you actually need detectable warning devices on a DG trail? Because I don't think it's classified as a ADA compliant surface. Because you wouldn't need the detectable warning devices on a DG trail. I've never, this is the only city where I think I've seen it. It's only required on ADA accessible paths of travel. And because DG can tend to rivet and, you know, depress, I don't think it actually qualifies as an ADA path of travel. So, which means you wouldn't have to put...
I can check. I think you're, I suspect you're right.
I think we'll have to have that discussion with our group.
Yeah. But since there is no sidewalk, then I wonder
right.
what that makes a difference.
It's supposed to be an ADA path of travel, which means accessible to wheelchairs and the blind and everything. If it's not accessible, if it's not, that's what I understand from the law, but if it's supposedly, if it's not classified as an ADA path of travel, then I don't think you need to put detectable warning devices down at the intersections. But
yeah, the divot or whatever that you were seeing is that I've never noticed myself, but the divots at the entrances to the trails, is this something that just occurred during that really heavy storm season a couple of years ago, or is it something that occurs?
I think it probably occurs every year, rain.
Yeah, every rain, every heavy rain we get, like last year we had a heavy rain.
Yeah.
Yeah, that it occurs. You can see it and you have to basically be careful. I mean, it's funny because we have this nice DG trail and typically we see people walking on the bike lane instead of walking the DG trail because of these divots and because landscapers come in and they start blowing and you see all of this cloud of DG floating over the air and people run to the other side.
Is the type of damage you're describing, is that something that our maintenance staff could just deal with?
The
routine stuff?
What I was alluding to is like if you're doing DG repairs, mm-hmm. for the sections where you have those handicaps, is maybe look at putting concrete or doing something instead of spending the money on redoing DG at those specific locations, or using some kind of a heavy-duty stabilizer mm-hmm. for DG stabilizer. And they have proprietary mixes
yeah.
that basically won't erode. We've used that in the...
Well, Grijalva, they have Grijalva the same
Park.
Problem on their DG trails around the...
Where's that?
Grijalva Park,
oh, yeah,
where
yeah.
the sports center mm-hmm. is. So they had a problem with that, we heard. On the DG trail surrounding the track. So in certain areas where runoff would tend to hit it, it was eroding, and they went back to their original mixes and actually found a better stabilizer, which makes the DG perform more like a slurry seal, like a semi-concrete. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So in those areas, when the water hits it, it's not going to wash all the fines or all the fines out and you know start eroding. So they were pretty successful in doing that. So it might, yeah, they might be able to help.
Could you provide that? That
I haven't seen the specs, but I'm sure that whoever maintains it, I guess the parks. Maintenance people in Orange would probably have some good ideas about
that. What about some drainage mitigation measures? I mean, you know, it's hard to stop it when it's going down a steep grade, but water bars, maybe some drop inlets every now and then that could dump it underneath the curb and get it out in the street. Is there something that could be looked at that would kind of mitigate the amount of water that builds up on those and starts to accelerate and rut?
Yeah, but that costs money.
Yeah, well, so does maintenance and replacement every year.
Yeah, that's
some
true.
Kind of a...
Yeah.
To minimize the maintenance and the destruction of these every time it rains, is there something that could be looked at that's I've seen railroad ties that are kind of, you know,
the nature of DG, as it's been explained to me, is eventually it's going to erode no matter what you put in.
Yeah, it is. It does.
It is DG. It's not cement, and it's intended to be something different. Like you say, it's not sidewalk.
Right.
And that's, so you have that.
Yep.
The areas that we're repairing all through the city, FEMA has said, they're actually paying for it. And they've said you replace as is. So you can't, if you do upgrades, it's at your expense.
Oh,
so we are replacing as is at this point, and we should look long term at obviously something, the mix or something would be something maybe that will help us.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. Well, I'll have Akron check with Orange, but at this point we're replacing all through the city. It's not just the upper grades, but wherever there was identified damage, we're replacing.
Right.
So at this point. And
yeah, because DG, the idea of having DG is like you don't have a slope higher than 1%. So when you do an 8.33%, it's going to erode no matter what you do. If you go 2%, it will start eroding a little bit.
And we have definitely more than 2%. We definitely up there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And up there, that DG should have really been an option for something that's steep.
And Mike does repair patch during the years pretty regularly, where there are divots and whatnot that he picks up. But the major damage, this is more major damage that we're replacing.
Yeah.
Mike
is the maintenance guy?
Yeah, Mike. He goes out and he will replace it pretty regularly. Where he, you know, there's, what, candidly, we even have things that, silly things, where we'll have a car, you know, take out some of the posts and dig a divot and whatnot, so Mike will go out and fix those, you know, and all that kind of stuff. We have that more often than you think.
Should we look at the specs of the DG that we're using for repairs to make sure it's got some of that stabilizer in it?
Yeah,
or does it?
I don't know.
He'd probably be best to contact maybe Orange because they've been struggling with that issue for the past few years.
We
can find out. Yeah.
Yeah, we can look at it.
Look into it.
Yeah, maybe some compaction guidelines. I mean, it only works if you compact it real well, like plate compactor or something. If you lay it in there loose, it's...
Yeah, but the whole idea of the DG is basically to get the water into the soil. That's the real reason.
Okay. It's not intended to be cement or...
No, it's
absorbent. It's intended to be absorbent.
Right. But whenever you have these slopes, it just washes out.
Yeah. Okay.
Henderson Storm Drain,
we'll have the contract out this month. For bid, and it's after considerable discussion with FEMA, but we still don't have a final decision on where they're landing. Anyway,
for design or for construction?
For construction.
For construction.
As far as funding?
Right? Yep, I'm sorry.
As far as funding, you don't know where they've landed? Or
FEMA, yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I mean, we have no choice, it's going to be fixed, but one way or another, something will be done. But as far as FEMA reimbursing us, there's a long road. Discussions that still will happen.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, that will be either an actual reimbursement or, you know, and then there's acknowledged reimbursement or appeal process or whatever. They haven't officially notified. We've had 3 engineering crews from FEMA and 5 or 6 different project managers, and they continue to rotate.
And this is the line that is under a tennis court or something? Okay. Is it being relocated? Can you tell us? Or is it being replaced in the same location?
We will not be dealing with the tennis court.
Oh, okay.
That is not our issue. She's filed a claim against the city, so I don't really want to talk too much about it. But we should.
But the line is being relocated.
The line is being replaced.
Replaced in the easement in the same location. I see.
On the that storm drain, the end of the storm drain where it crosses Henderson, I guess the intersection of Henderson and Mesa, is that a corrugated metal pipe too?
No.
Where it goes underneath the Mesa?
Concrete. No, it is cement.
It is, okay, great. My understanding was that right after the storm, when we first had that collapse, Mike, our maintenance guy in Akron, went into the storm drain underneath the tennis court, and that's corrugated metal pipe also, and mentioned that there was deformation of that storm drain.
We will be replacing, we'll be repairing the storm drain under it. The tennis court is not, that's the issue. whose responsibility to repair any tennis court is not, because there's other issues with the tennis court.
Okay. Yeah, but we do have plans to deal with the storm drain underneath.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We will deal with the entirety of that stretch of corrugated metal. Mm-hmm. What we won't deal with necessarily is all the other property issues that she has raised.
Yeah.
And the plans are done?
Yes.
The design?
Yes.
So is the tennis court, under the tennis court, are you replacing the corrugated metal pipe, or are you just...
No, we are
repairing.
Repairing, and yeah.
But then outside of the tennis court, the new open trench area, you're...
No, we're going to put in, there'll be piping put in.
Cement piping.
Concrete. No, not cement piping. I don't think they're putting in cement.
They're putting corrugated
yes.
metal?
Yes. Underneath the tennis court, or...
There's another remediation. I don't believe they're putting in corrugated metal under the tennis courts. They're doing other... I don't know what they're doing, but I mean, I'm not an engineer, so I can't tell you, but there are other repair elements that they're taking care of underneath it structurally.
But where the corrugated metal pipe collapsed and where it was removed, that's being replaced with...
corrugated metal.
Really?
Yes.
We'll never be able to transfer it to the county.
It is, you know, the junction that is cement is also the city's. So we have cement that goes under Henderson, that's ours, mm-hmm. and that is cement. And the city, the county, we've had discussions and they are absolutely taking it. They're not, they are.
May you describe why?
They don't believe it's their responsibility, and it's also, they're underfunded and they're not gonna deal with it.
And the reason we're not putting in RCP instead?
Cost. FEMA will not replace anything as an upgrade. And there's a significant, so the...
Even if we pay for the betterment?
We can pay for the, yes, we'll pay for that.
For the betterment, which
yes.
is basically...
Yeah, we'll pay for the betterment, right.
Which is basically, if you bid it as a corrugated metal pipe right. and you bid it as concrete,
right.
then the difference between the two...
Right. So I don't want to, the city council approved replacing it with corrugated metal, so I refer to the council in closed session. They had that discussion, so I don't want to.
Okay.
That's not my decision. You know, we presented options and they made a decision. So
okay.
I think we'll leave it. Anyway,
revisiting this issue.
No, because most we deal with this with various cities. And every city that has corrugated metal pipe is adamantly replacing it, whether it has failed or not failed.
Mm-hmm. Because it will fail.
Because it will fail over time. With, I mean, even plastic is better than
I'm going to say it's corrugated metal insulated with plastic is what he's putting in there, is what the, or some, I don't have the engineering, I mean, I'm not Akram, so I can't speak for him, but
so
it's
he's
not.
He's going with the HDPE pipe maybe, or something like that.
Yes, he's going with something, so it's not just straight corrugated metal, there's other, I don't know what that answer is, and Akram is the answer, and I apologize.
Okay,
but.
No problem.
Yeah, I guess the problem is if you put the same thing on, you're just deferring, you know,
the
problem.
Can down the road.
Yeah.
And replacing with HDPE, I mean, there are certain places when HDPE, the plastic, is maybe okay, but
depending
on the loading conditions, and this is an area where we probably don't want to go in if we can help it later, if it fails, and if there's chances of fires, and that we know that HDPE doesn't perform at all. Know, fire conditions tends to melt,
mm-hmm.
and the San Clemente tried to put it down. You know, they considered putting it down some of their coastal canyons and stuff, but the fear of wildfires coming up some of those canyons and melting the pipes out, and it just wasn't. They had to
buried?
Back down. Yeah, even if they're buried.
Basically, what happened is HDPE was the sweetheart for everybody. And then the city, the county fire department actually took one piece of pipe and invited the engineers and lit it on fire. And the thing caught fire like you wouldn't believe. All the engineers were like,
whoa,
shocked. So for county facilities, they don't even allow you to even go with the smaller sizes. Mm. You know, it used to be that you could go in with an 18-inch and so on. Not anymore. But that's, you know, it's better than the corrugated metal pipe.
Yeah.
What was that?
Hydraulic performance.
Is that settled? Is that the way it's going to go?
Well, that's your recommendation.
I think council already voted on it.
We're saying council already approved it, right?
Well, the council can change its mind.
And council approved it based on what the alternatives would cost, and then they said we can't afford this, and let's go with the
change. We're probably not armed with all the information we would need to make. We haven't seen the Delta.
I think we could probably revisit this and find out what Occam's doing, right? Because it sounds like there's some type of solution.
I would caution because we are in litigation. Mm-hmm. We're okay. In litigation. This is not a. This is not something I would want to have. I mean, unless you all want to be deposed. I'm serious because she's sending me emails like, why aren't you doing this and that, et cetera. I want it, et cetera. So we need to move at some point. So we can't. We've already. It's been a year and a half. And she's growing impatient, and she's contacting our insurance company, and we're fending her off, and et cetera, et cetera. But I mean, there is some. I would caution that it is, you know,
complicated.
It is unfortunately an issue that may go on for a while, litigation or otherwise. I mean, because the whole issue of the koi pond, the tennis court, et cetera, we are not acknowledging. You know, and she's now into landscaping and trees and everything else. So we have a lot of issues to deal with her.
One more thing you may we may suggest on the Henderson drain repair.
Yes.
Is to have a monitoring program done for settlement. Typically, you have surveyors that will set points. And that can be monitored over the years, because if you're doing something underneath and then things start moving, especially if there is a litigation, it's just something. I think Akram knows all about it because we did that for San Clemente, for Palizada.
I will mention that.
Yeah.
And it's something that the surveyor, they're definitely going to stake that line to make sure it's in the easement. So when they're out there, without additional huge charges, they should be able to set a couple, monitoring points with the construction staking contract.
Well,
I don't know if the city's staking it separately from the contractor, but it's something that could be worked into the contract.
We've done the survey. Unfortunately, we are not within the boundaries of our easement, so we have to negotiate with the owner on that. So there's a lot. No, that's she knows this is all. This is common knowledge. So as-builds were not consistent with the original.
If somebody didn't stake it the first time around.
I didn't do it. Mm-hmm.
I killed it.
Yeah. That's why survey money was out.
So important.
You are a valuable service
good.
To the community.
I feel so much better about it. Career choice.
And I'm not stating anything out of, you know, it is what it is. So there's a lot of complications here, and I don't
understand.
I don't mean to.
No, I appreciate you keeping us.
The cannon wall is something that the mayor brought up last time, and we sort of tabled it for this meeting. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about it again. So,
well, we've got a retaining wall over on Cannon, kind of towards the end of Serrano, and I believe it's failed at least once, maybe twice.
I think it's twice. You're right.
Yeah, and. You know, we hopefully have it's been rebuilt to where it will not fail again. But really, the only monitoring that we have is Mike drives by and takes a look. And how do you tell by a drive by? And would it be worthwhile to set a couple of monuments up to monitor periodically? And how often should it be done to see if that wall is holding up?
What would a surveying contract cost to do something like that, do you know? Ballpark, just back of the envelope, kind of.
How long of a period of time would we want to monitor? Would it a year of half dozen
ongoing
half dozen monitors on it for want to get through rainy season, I'm sure. Maybe it would be a 2 year. I'm just thinking out loud.
I was thinking long term.
Yeah, I think you'd long term year to year.
Oh, for
years.
Just an annual.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
The last failure was in 2005, 6, something like that. 7, 8, something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah, something
like that. 1,000 a visit, so $10,000 a year, $12,000 a year, ballpark.
Was there a report from when it failed? Like, was there a report as to why it failed?
Yes.
And then did they say, we've repaired it based on this report, basically, like, we've repaired these issues?
Yeah, they did a whole different design, and like you said, they did, I think, the mayor said.
Yeah, the failed, well, wasn't this kind of thing, right? I mean, I don't know what the history was, but I suspect that it's not the same. This is like that tie back, what did I call them? Earth retaining. I mean, it seems like a pretty decent looking wall right now.
Yeah.
But I think in the past it wasn't maybe similar.
Are there any apparent concerns based on just observation that he's picked
well,
up?
Well, that it's failed twice.
Yeah, but and nothing, there's no bulging, there's no apparent current.
No,
oh, that looks funny kind of a thing.
I don't know.
Not that we're aware of, but it's, that's what the point is. Do we know?
Well, we should probably start with a site visit.
I drove by it. I did drive by it. My mom did say it did fail twice. I did ask. But I don't remember. I don't know what it was. It is a really high wall and a very steep slope behind it. So I guess before I would say moving forward, I would want to see why it failed in the first place. Like, I'd want to actually know technically why. So I guess if you guys had that information and you could provide it, that's what I would want to see first.
And it's hard to drive by and see anything of value. I mean,
yeah.
It's hard to park there. You got to kind of, it's a whole event. You got to get out there and park somewhere where you can park and walk over to it.
It's actually pretty steep up there.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
It has the gutter behind it to catch the water. It's pretty big. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I want to know
it's
why.
It's an MSC wall, isn't it? MSC?
It's the blocks.
MSC wall. Some mechanically stabilized
wall. Yeah.
That's with the tiebacks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was it designed by an engineer and all of that?
Yes.
You would hope so, right?
Yes, it was, but I don't know what the designer. I can't answer it.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Because those things have, I don't recall the construction when it was going up and stuff, but those stabilized earth walls, they have like cutbacks of like 20 feet or 25,
yes,
depending on.
In fact, there are restrictions on the residents is what they can do with properties.
Right.
Yeah.
Up to the setbacks behind it. So we have one guy that wants to put something up and he can't do it. We won't let him because
there's probably a subsurface easement for that wall.
Yes, sure there is.
Interesting.
I can get you the details.
Yeah, I think that would be helpful.
Doesn't sound like it's a hair on fire issue, but something we can certainly track and go take a look at and review the reports and keep it on the agenda.
But maybe a couple of times a year, though, I think it may be worthwhile. I mean, I don't know how much it would be. Maybe it's every 3 months, maybe a survey guy comes in and looks at the monument.
Two or three times a year.
See if there is any settlement on it. I mean, that's not a big investment, I would say, is there?
I don't want to have some kind of confirmation that there could be an issue first. I mean, if this thing looks like it's sitting there as built, then if it's not broken, there's nothing to fix. But if there does appear to be some potential issues, then we could recommend a monitoring survey.
Yeah. Typically, those walls fail because of the actual movement of the dirt behind it. So it's really, it depends on how good your soils engineer was and if he recommended basically monitoring the slope that's behind it.
Or we need to take a look at the private activity up on top too to see what's
right.
The swimming pool up behind the thing. I mean, you got to kind of look at what's been done up above, right?
Right, absolutely.
So there's probably a lot to it.
It'd be interesting to know from the report if they did enough analysis or research to understand if there's some overall, like, area-wide type of movement going on, or if it's in a special slide area or, you know, something where you wouldn't be able to stabilize a much larger slide area, but you could, and they design just a localized, you know, wall or repair method. Because if the whole area is within a slide zone of some sort, there must have been some sort of statement about they expect it to move so much every year. Maybe it was designed that way. The report, it's
prior
to
2010, so I don't know.
Well, Doris Repke was here, so I think he's
still
he's pretty reputable. He's you know, if he did it, then hopefully he did the coring and all of that.
Totally oblivious to that. I have no idea. I wish I could help.
BC.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. So we'll bring that back next month, too.
Yeah, and I will provide information about as much as we have on some of the details.
Okay.
We talked about infrastructure tour. We have not, and I apologize, Akram's son graduated from medical school. The mayor, we have not gone out, but Akram was asked to pull together some. So he left this here. These are some of the infrastructure. This is Orange's infrastructure plan, which the mayor had asked to pull some plans. Laguna Woods and some of the other cities don't actually have infrastructure plans that they have, or at least they're willing to share. So this is one that he thought would be very different. You guys might be familiar with this and have seen it and be familiar and conversant in it. But he says it was a good, something good to share. I think he's got, yeah, it's got the implementation as well attached. So you can see this is actually a pretty, I don't know the date of it. It looks like 2014 or 2015. It was revised. I don't know how often they do that. I don't know, Mayor, if this is what you were looking for the city, you were looking something along these lines.
Let me read it and I'll...
Yeah, no, I'm just...
So this is actually, this came out of the City of Orange general plan.
Yes.
So it's actually basically the general plan component, infrastructure component of the general plan.
Yeah.
Okay. Generally what I'm thinking of is, you know, like life cycle management. You know, what do we do, for example, on our streets to extend the life, you know, of the pavement?
Mm-hmm.
That could be built in your capital improvement plan.
Yeah.
It sounds like more what you're looking for, which is in the back.
Yeah, my understanding is that currently, we mostly just go back and fix things that break. But if we can take it another step further, how can we maintain our streets to prevent damage before it breaks to reduce our costs?
Mm-hmm. We'll bring that back next month and look for some recommendations.
We want our streets to look better and also be cheaper to maintain.
It does take front end work, but you're right.
Yeah.
It's planning. Front end work and front end money.
Mm-hmm. So, candidly, in talking to some of the city managers, multiple cities in Orange County have structural deficits.
Yeah.
So down the road, there'll be, you know, I can name about five off the top of my hand within 5 years because of the PERS will be completely upside down unless things change, especially if they have their own police departments. That's going to be sooner than later, and fire departments. Orange will tell you the same thing. They're structurally got some issues in the next couple of years. So many of them are saying they've scrapped their infrastructure plans because they can't afford to do what they're doing. You know, they can't keep the doors open at this point. So many of them said that they've got to go back and rethink a lot of that whole strategy of how they're doing things. So some of the city managers just said, you know, I'd love to be able to have it. I'd like to be able to do it. But finances are what finances are. So, you know, their bigger worry their expressed worry to me was I got to be able to keep the streets safe and people responding to fire calls.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, one of the issues that hopefully we don't have to address here. Because of some foresight of the prior councils not doing what other cities have done, but having their own fire department, police department, et cetera, that's there's typically what sacrifices exactly what you're saying is a preventative activities because they redirect monies back into their operating funds as opposed to dealing with capital operating.
Yeah, so they dig themselves further in the hole because they ultimately the infrastructure will, structure will fail.
And things are hitting them that, you know, I mean, there are things hitting them that are unanticipated. You know, the county reported, for instance, they spent $28 million on homeless issues just this fiscal year. Fullerton has spent, Santa Ana, they're, you know, Santa Ana spent $17 million. I mean, there's just a lot of unanticipated, those are general fund expenses typically. So some of the cities are saying, boy, I would love to have one of what you're talking about. I would love to have something current, but if I gave you something, it's sort of like what it used to be, and we can't, we're not there. Yeah. So it's not a fair representation of the status. So that's, I can tell you, I've had conversations with three different cities that said, hey, we're not there anymore. We could have been there, but we're not. And if all bets are off, candidly, if PERS changes their rediscount rate to 6%, that will mean that it just pushes the curve closer of problems. So many of them are dealing with that. So some cities, like I was talking to one city, and they're actually talking to their police department about takebacks now. You know, in other words, reducing salaries and taking away benefits. So they've already reached some of those, you know, and he's saying, well, I wish I could deal with them, I can't. You know, so the cities, as a general rule, are very opposed, and I'm not, this is not a, many of the staff are very opposed to the gas tax being repealed because they see that as a potential for them to help solve some of their infrastructure issues. I'm just telling you what some of the cities, I have absolutely no, but I mean, you'll see the city managers will say, please, you know, they'll talk about it, but it is, it's sort of one of those issues out there that's, you know, we'll see what happens. So in Canada, a lot of cities may have had a plan, but they've scrapped it at this point because they're not in a position anymore that, you know, they wish they could be.
But a lot of cities are getting their projects ready for that SB1.
Yeah, the gas tax, right.
Yeah, they're waiting basically for the state to release the money. And the state basically released only the money's to the state,
yes,
to Caltrans.
Right, so project ready, right. We've identified projects. We actually have to give a list of projects, so we are...
The problem is Caltrans doesn't have anything ready. They're just going to pocket the money and do nothing. And they get it first. It's a little disturbing, but yeah, the state is the state.
The state is the state.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, let's see. Anything to discuss on the GIS? That's all part of the infrastructure overwork.
I think that's
overwork.
All part of the GIS.
Okay.
I have a new item.
Yeah,
okay,
sure.
Matt and I attended the city's budgeting session the other night, and one of the things that caught my attention was we had a computer system backup failure and loss of documents some time ago.
2015, right.
So, I mean, it's kind of related to infrastructure. Does the city have a good backup?
Yes, we do.
Plan
we have a
cloud? Do we need to talk about any of that at this committee to help with some suggestions there? Or are we
No, we actually have now? A service that we have. We contract off-site, off, you know, remotely, and et cetera.
Okay.
They didn't at the time, 2015, so they lost a lot of data they had to recreate as best they could.
I cringed when I heard that we lost data. That's
they did. Okay. And I don't know what the circumstances were, the failure or what they lost, but I do know that there is a separate we pay for, you know, we do it, you know, the remote backup.
It's a cloud, some kind of a cloud based offsite. Right. This building blew up, the data's safe.
Probably calling to see how it went. He was very concerned about
it's
missing
not nine
the,
yet, though.
I know he's. Yes, we do have the backup. That was one of the remediation measures that was taken.
Mm-hmm.
Is so there's a backup system that you get notes saying don't turn off your computers, it's being backed up tonight and all that stuff. So we have all that. And
how well, kind of related to the GIS, just a little bit, is how are documents stored and managed? Are they hard copy files, or are we scanning and maintaining?
We're scanning, maintaining, and we have what we call basically a share file. So all of our business licenses, all of our agenda items, all of our contracts, and all are scanned in after they're signed.
So
what about plans and
design plans.
Some
of our design plans are not, and that's something we work in talking about conversion. I think there's money we're trying to build into some of that. We'd like to. I understand the county, and I've heard from Bill Tarrant, that they're going completely online and digital. So they're not even going to accept things in the future.
Everybody's going that way.
Yeah, so we are building in money to start moving that direction. You know, it'll be a phased process, but that's one of the things I brought up as an item that we need to get into that.
Yeah.
The thing is, with these plans, nowadays everything is electronic. Mm-hmm. So they should be providing the city with the electronic copies of every document. Yeah. Every bid package that goes out needs to be submitted by the consultants in electronic format. And I would suggest the original format as well as the PDF format.
And then
so
that
the city, absolutely, because in 10 or 5 years or whenever we need to come back to these same streets to repair them, we want those CAD files, we want those PDF drawings. So we want to tell the other consultants, you have to ask
them. At one point, we don't have the ability within this office to pick up and, you know, if somebody sent us some of that, mm-hmm. we don't have the ability to even read some of that. In other words, we don't have
it doesn't
the,
matter okay. because you use consultants.
No, I know, but we don't.
Yeah, it's going to save you money
in
the long term to have
that. We need to bring ourselves up to in the office here so that.
But the thing is, they have it.
Yeah.
They have all of this.
Right.
So they, and you bought it, you paid them to do this, so it belongs to the city of Villa Park. So they should be, and thumb drives are this big. Every project that goes out to bid should already be on a thumb drive in the city's files.
And that's one part of it, is getting it. And
right.
The other part of it is getting it here in an organized system, in a folder structure. That is part of your backup system, so that this building burns down overnight, that data is completely safe and offsite.
And they have free software now for viewing these things.
Yes.
And we can, I can.
No, that's what we've contacted. I'm putting money aside. That was one of the items we put. I put money in the budget to get us there, because we don't have that. And whatever in the past wasn't done, I can't attest. But
yeah, but those viewers are free. So you can download them, install them on any computer, and you can view CAD files, you can view PDF. There's also free PDF viewers. So you really don't need the software unless you want to change something.
Well, we do want to change. I mean, I want to change the building permit process. I want to do a lot of that thing.
Yeah.
Because right now, Bill Tarrant also does work in Orange, and he goes out in Orange. He has an iPad.
Yeah.
And everything he does an inspection on an iPad, he just does it out in the field, and it's already recorded here, and everyone can access it. We don't do that here. You have to come in and submit, and it's a very old process they have here in the city. And we need to move a lot of that forward, exactly what you're saying. We need to be converting. So that process is going on, and that's sort of a priority for the coming year, is what I've identified, and that's what I think I identified to the council.
I think at a minimum, you know, crawl before we walk. I mean, start getting our plans in digital format, getting them stored someplace in an organized folder structure and in our backup system. Just capture that stuff that the city has paid for, like he has suggested.
So currently the hard copies are stored, though, someplace?
Here.
You're just keeping it here?
They're kept here. This is not the ideal setup.
And the scanning isn't super expensive. I mean, even if you had old records that, you know, aren't the new ones coming in digitally already, it's not an incredibly expensive effort. You can have bulk scanning done.
Yeah, no, we're doing scanning also with our financial records. Our financial records are kept, and you don't want to hear this, Tupperware tubs in the back storeroom here.
Yeah.
You know, audits and things like that, we need to have records, and so we're going through a whole scanning. We're getting rid of some things. Now, I can get you a hard copy of a 1962 first city council notes, meetings from that agenda if you want, because we have them in a file.
They're handwritten, probably.
Handwritten. That's all great, but it's not something we should have handwritten sitting in here taking up space, et cetera. We should have this all digitized. So the whole effort is to moving forward and to get us into a much more sophisticated, and we don't need storerooms. We need more. We need computer space and dedicated approaches
off-site
to deal with it.
Yeah. Well, not here in this building.
Accessible.
Yeah, accessible.
And that's what we're moving in that direction. So
good.
we're paring down some of the old, I mean, we've got things that, you know, we have handwritten notes from one council member to another dating back to 1965. Who put this in a file and kept it? We have them, so.
But I do acknowledge, too, I mean, one of the reasons why I wanted to go to that budgeting session was to understand, I mean, the city, we don't have a lot of resources to work with. I mean, we don't generate a ton of revenue, and we've got to manage our money very carefully and wisely. So I understand we don't have a ton of money to throw at things like this, but.
No, it, you saw it was listed as a priority. One of the things that that I identified for the council. We need to make that transition. You're exactly right. And one of the things, if we can get some of this stuff online right away, I'm happy. That's great.
Like this stuff, though, it's, you know, it doesn't cost anything to ask for this information and to keep it, even if you have to keep it in a Tupperware box, you know, for now. Mm-hmm. You still, it doesn't cost anything to collect it. So just should be part of the project that you've already paid for. So
and we provide, when we do projects for cities, we do provide digital and hard copies. So it's normal practice.
Normal practice, and most agencies demand it before they write a check. So.
Okay.
All right.
Is that it?
Any other items? Any discussion? No? Then we are adjourned early. Thank you very much.
Do you want to decide on the next meeting date?
Yes, let's do that.
About a month schedule, back? I say, is very busy. Your guys' schedules are very busy trying to get you all coordinated. And I hope you don't mind. Outlook seems to be the easiest way just to send you if you decline.
Yes.
It's easiest.
Oh,
I hope you.
That's fine.
And I appreciate you all getting back so quick.
Yeah, about a month out.
Yeah.
I don't know what does that look like on a date?
Like the 21st.
21st of June.
I'm good.
21st of June, does that work for everybody?
I think so. I have a flight that day, but I believe it's in the afternoon. I think,
I'm good.
I should be fine.
All right, why don't we tentatively plan for the 21st, then I'll send an evite and we'll go from there. Okay.
All right, that's it.